I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. All right, it's time for our bi-weekly. Is that the right word? Bi-weekly, every other week? Is it bi-weekly?
Bi-weekly. I think it's every week, right?
No, we're doing this every 2 weeks.
Every two weeks, yes.
So bi-weekly. So, all right. Anyway, that's Taylor Ann Bradford of the Gloucester Times, and I appreciate her coming on once again on our Connections program. And Taylor, you know, a lot has changed in the past 2 weeks, and a lot has remained the same. And that's where I'd like to start, because your coverage is consistent, and it's pretty much almost on a daily basis regarding the COVID restrictions and so on that have been rolled back for a couple of weeks. But also the vaccine is out there, so I wonder where you'd start with us and let us know you're thinking about all the stuff that's going on.
Yeah, so I hear both on social media and from phone calls from friends and loved ones just the excitement that people have about the vaccine rolling out here in mass. Obviously, there's three phases that Governor Baker has laid out for everyone here in Massachusetts about, you know, when you might be getting the vaccine and how it's an exciting change, I think, to the daily grind that we've been enduring for the past year. And so the first phase includes nursing homes and long-term care facilities. And so here in the city, I've been looking at, you know, what nursing homes are going to be getting them and when they'll be getting them and who will be getting them. And so had the opportunity to speak from Denmark Health and Rehabilitation Center in Rockport, and just kind of touch base with Stephen Vera, who's the chief executive officer over there. And they will be getting the vaccine next week. So Tuesday, January 5th, their residents and their staff will be getting it. And so they're one of 2,000 nursing homes across the state that are part of phase one of getting the vaccine. And this is a, you know, there's two different ones right now. There's the Pfizer and there's the Moderna. And the Pfizer is the one that Denmark will be receiving with partnership with Walgreens, who will be coming to administer the first dose. As we know, Pfizer vaccine has two doses, and the second dose will come about 3 weeks after getting the first one. And so, you know, I've seen people posting on social media and emails of people sending photos of, you know, nurses and healthcare workers who are getting that first card saying, I've got the vaccine. And before we know it, residents over at Denmark and Seacoast Rehabilitation and Gloucester Healthcare will also be getting them as well. So it's, I think, an exciting time as we head into 2021. And yeah, people are very excited, and, you know, that will go up until February. When we hit the second phase, and you can expect that in the second phase, adults older than 65, teachers, grocery, utility, transit, food, and agricultural, sanitation, public workers, and public health care workers will also be getting the vaccine in that second phase that starts in February to April.
Well, you know, you mentioned it's an exciting time, and I talked to you just before we started recording about being COVID fatigue, but do you feel when in talking with people that they can continue to be patient, because there does seem to be this optimism now that the vaccine is finally here, and it's going to take a little while, but at least we're going to start to climb out of this hole.
Yeah, I definitely think that people are eager and excited. I think that the winter months are definitely going to be hard, as we've seen an uptick right now in different strands of the virus, and like a lot of sad news that's kind of coming at the end of 2020, this is like a glimmer of hope that I think people are holding on to. While there is the fatigue that I know myself, and I can't imagine for those who are that much closer to COVID daily, this vaccine is a scientific, factual representation of a brighter future.
Yeah.
So excited to see what their response is as they get it, and kind of, you know, when I interview them, let's say in April, you know, will we be in lockdown like we were last April, and will hospitals be overcome by patients, or will we start to kind of level out and start to see some sense of normality?
Well, it was a good article today, I think, that I read somewhere, might have been on the AP, about Dr. Fauci saying that if we do what we're supposed to do, He said things could be back to normal by fall. Now, by fall, that seems a long way away on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's a source of optimism. Okay, you know, step by step, at least we're going to be progressing in the right direction. But that said, you know, Governor Baker has rolled back the phase for businesses right now, and what's your thought about that? Your coverage on that stuff, because you know, the restaurants have had to cut back from 40% to 25%, but in reading your articles, it looked as though, you know, while people are not going out as much as they used to, the businesses, those businesses that are surviving are at least surviving.
Right. And yeah, we talk about that sense of normalcy that we're all seeking for, and there definitely is almost a sense of new normal as we kind of trot along into the winter months. And, you know, Governor Baker on December 26th announced that they'd reduce the capacity to 25% for some businesses, and that's including restaurants. And a number of people at public and private gatherings has also been reduced to 10 people indoors and 25 people outdoors. So that's substantially less than what we saw this summer, and rightfully so as you see the numbers increase. But yeah, I actually reached out to a few people when we first went into lockdown here in the state, and particularly in Gloucester and Cape Ann. I had interviewed a couple different businesses about kind of what their response was to the lockdown and, you know, businesses being temporarily closed, and I actually called the same people back to kind of see, you know, although that they've been reduced in numbers of who they're allowed in, you know, they're up and running again. So what has been the process since the last time that I talked with them? And so I think most poignantly is hairdressers and dog groomers. You know, they had to close down completely, obviously, as their interaction is so much with their clients. Spoke with Julie Wilkins of Best in Show, and she kind of talked about it, you know, they almost took the precautions to an extreme, and so that now as Governor Baker is, you know, tightening restrictions, they've already had those restrictions in place, and so they don't feel the burden of these new restrictions because they try to be proactive on, you know, making sure they don't have a ton of people in the place at a time. Their trade-off with the dog owners is as limited as possible. They did say when they first started out and trying to navigate how to be open, how to, you know, take on the dog while not having contact with the owner, a couple dogs ran away, and luckily they all came back and they were able to, you know, get them groomed. It was fine, but she laughed that, you know, 2020 kind of felt like that of, you know, dogs running away and having to chase after them. But yeah, so businesses are really figuring it out. I spoke with Oliver's over on Main Street. Woman had recently opened up a local restaurant there, and I had interviewed her when she first opened right before the pandemic hit. And now interviewing her again, she said that the biggest frustration that she has is that, you know, clients and people who come to eat at her restaurant, sometimes they're not as compliant with the contact tracing. That's a big thing, that people don't want to give out their names or their phone numbers. Although, you know, she said that we're just trying to make sure to keep people safe because she wants to provide good food to the community of Gloucester and those who come to visit. Mm-hmm. So she just, when I spoke with representatives from that restaurant, you know, they're saying, like, we don't make these rules. These rules are, you know, put on to us, and we're trying to do the best that we can in order to keep ourselves safe and keep everyone else safe. So I spoke with them, and right, if you get a haircut, you go out for dinner, the next best thing is to go see a movie. And I don't know about you, but I've been craving to go to the movies, and, you know, going to in theaters, and obviously that's not an option right now.
No.
And so while we have, like, Gloucester Cinema is definitely open with limited capacity, you think about Cape Ann Cinema on Main Street, right next to Mystery Train Records. And, you know, if you've ever been there, you think about the cozy couches and the mugs that you can get your tea in as you watch a film, in one of their really comfortable little, like, home style theaters. But unfortunately, they're not, they've chosen very, preemptively to close down their physical space, and everything is online, trying to create streaming services and really keep an uptick. Because I think the beautiful thing about Cape Ann is, right, like, these are mom and pop businesses that have a really close-knit relationship with the people and their clients. And so the people of our Cape Ann Cinema, you know, are longing for that connection with long-term customers that they've had, you know, year-long relationships with. But they're excited that they're still able to provide services, even if it is just online. So a lot of people have hope. A lot of people are just adjusting to a new normal, but obviously the new restrictions don't, they still have an impact on everybody. So, you know, that's all the positivity is not to say that there isn't hardship. I think that people just have a really good perspective on the hardship this year as we go into 2021. So hopefully they're able to see a few more people, as the COVID hopefully levels out and is just an afterthought, hopefully in 21, 22. So we'll see.
Yeah, there's, speaking of that too, you know, people want to help out. People want to get out on the one hand, but on the other hand, they're very cautious and nervous about going out, of course. Again, rightfully so. And I know this isn't your coverage, but Dustin Luke is writing in today's Salem News, about a group in Salem that's aiding jobless restaurant employees. So I know that there are all kinds of, organizations around, and, again, this is a little off topic, but, Julie LaFontaine at the Open Door, I mean, they've done an incredible job, accepting gifts from the community to help feed the those who need it. And, so there are those good people out there, and it's gotta, you know, this, it's gotta open up soon because so many people are hurting. And speaking of opening up, you have, I believe it's in today's Gloucester Times, a story on some affordable housing. There's a new complex being built right on Main Street.
Yeah, so Harbor Village is a community that is, you know, up and coming here on Main Street. If you walk by the former Cameron's restaurant, it is no longer a restaurant. It is now a foundation has been laid and walls have been set in place. Windows are put in for a new apartment community called Harbor Village. And they will offer 1 to 2 or 3 bedroom apartments for people of multiple, like affordable housing is essentially what it is. And so providing that opportunity is a partnership between Action Inc. And the North Shore Community Development Coalition. And their goal is to provide this high quality, energy efficient housing units to people who might not be able to afford other type of housing here in the city. And so they just opened up applications. Now, that doesn't mean that you put in an application and you automatically get in and you can move in next week. You're obviously, construction's still happening. And they have a completion date for the project in June of 2021. So it's really close if you think about it. They kind of announced this last spring. And now, you know, they're almost ready to be open. And so the amenities for this new affordable housing units include, you know, heat and water, fully equipped kitchens, appliances, controlled heating, central air conditioning, a lot of different things that people can use. And they also have 3 mobility accessible units and 1 sensory hearing unit available for those who might need it. And so they'll have the applications up until the beginning of February, and then the lottery for those who applied and, you know, were eligible is February 22nd. Mm-hmm. And so we'll kind of see from there what it looks like, and they're excited. There's been some bumps in the road. If you guys remember, we did some coverage much earlier this year about their construction, and COVID did delay some deliveries of materials that they did need. And if you guys remember, we had some pretty intense flooding in the spring, and they experienced some of that, including some of their abutting businesses. But June 2021 is their expected completion date, and I know that the people over at North Shore CDC, Groom Construction, and Action Inc. are very excited to provide this to a multitude of people. Again, mm-hmm. The units will be made available for households earning as low as 30% and up to 60% of the area median income. It's 30 residential units. And so it's anywhere from $1,400 for a 1-bedroom to $1,900 for a 3-bedroom apartment is kind of what they announced earlier mm-hmm. this week for available apartments.
Okay, and I remind our visitors that all of this can be fleshed out on Gloucester Times. I'll link to those articles as well here on this Connections. And Julie, oh my goodness, I had Julie LaFontaine on my mind. You know, you're a relative newcomer, Taylor Ann, to Gloucester anyway, but recently you've had stories on 2 Gloucester icons. Dick Wilson, number 1, who was a star athlete in the city and has done so many things for fundraising and working with the youth in the city. There was an award for Dick Wilson, who was honored for a lifetime of doing good things in Gloucester. And also, another icon in the city is Bob Gillis, who is the retiring president of the Cape Ann Savings Bank. So you're getting to know some of the history of Gloucester real fast here as you cover these stories.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing about Bob, too, is that I don't know about you, but, you know, when I do my stories and, you know, I find out that there's a new grant or a new project or a new organization in town, you get these contacts that you're supposed to reach out and kind of, you know, get quotes and get information from. And I think I had like four different separate instances where Bob Gillis was the contact person for different things.
Yeah.
I think that is just how integrated he is into this community.
Yes.
And, you know, he announced that after 45 years, he's retiring from his position over at Cape Ann Savings Bank as their president. You know, he's excited for retirement, excited to spend time with his grandchildren. And if anyone knows Bob, you know that he's an avid runner. And so I'm sure I'll see him out on the trails as he runs more, especially as we get some warmer days this winter. But, yeah, so he's retiring. And, yeah, just say congratulations to Bob Gillis as his work over there has very evidently been impactful for so many people, but he still has more work ahead of him as he's part of the Harbor Light Community Board president. He's a board member of the Gloucester Fishing Community Preservation Fund and part of the Cape Ann Chamber of Commerce and Rockport Rotary Club. And as we enter the Gloucester 400, he's a tri-chair person, so he has a lot of stuff ahead of him. So definitely, you know, Bob, if you're hearing this, like, get some rest.
Yeah, really.
Walk a trail. But obviously the work that he does is very, very good. And as he leaves, he will be, bringing, or the person who will be taking on his role is Marianne Smith, who is currently the chief financial officer. And so I know that he said great things about her and is very excited, for her as she enters into this new role. I believe that he's leaving in July, and so once he retires completely in July, she'll take over for him.
All right. Well, speaking of running the trails, you have a column every Friday, and maybe you can tease that for us, what's coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. So Halibut Point is the place to go this weekend. So unfortunately, it'll be a little bit rainy, but as I've said in other columns, rain should not stop anybody because there's no such thing as bad weather, just poor planning. And so get your rain jackets and get your wellies and get your muck boots on and go head over to Halibut Point Reservation. That's the one that I'll be highlighting this week, and just the beautiful trails that I think are so well maintained and beautiful quarries over there. And I think the greatest part about that location for me is you don't only see a trail and some beautiful vegetation, but then you see a quarry and then you see the ocean. And it just feels like it's layered on top of each other for a beautiful scenic walk on the weekend. So, more details on kind of my experience over there and the snowshoeing and, bird watching. But, that's the trail for this week. And again, if you have any suggestions for trails, down the pike for 2021, definitely let me know, because I'm always looking for good ones.
Well, we'll keep our eyes open, because we are too, as we have a group called, let me see if I can get this right, Amazing Old Coots, AOC, the Amazing Old Coots, we get together on Sundays and we try to do trails. Couples go out at our age, and so we'll see if we can add to that for you for sure. And you know, speaking of no bad weather, just bad planning, when we went to Ireland, you know, it rained every day for 10 days, which it is wont to do. But I had never heard the term wellies, and we finally ended up getting some wellies because we needed them over there. So I appreciate that. And you know, the thing is, if you're out running or you're out bicycling, not so much, but running and on trail and so on, there's gear for that. You can protect yourself and get out there. And I find the only time I don't run is if I have to shovel and if it's icy, then I kind of don't go at that point. Well, we're looking forward to it. So I have to ask you this question because for the last X number of years, we have looked at New Year's Day as a holiday with a small H, not a capital H. But I know that for young people, young folk, especially on New Year's Eve, it's a time of joy and celebration. Do you have a sense of what people your age are doing or going to be doing today? Has that been curtailed anecdotally as you talk to people?
Right, yeah. So you said people my age, to get that out there, I am 23 years old. So that is the young 20s age. And for people my age, they're practically doing the same thing as, you know, I think people your age, or although you, I can understand, are very, very young as well. But, okay. You know, people also beyond both of our ages. I think everyone's just staying home. If you have an apartment, I think a lot of people are just celebrating with their apartment mates. Kind of just enjoying, I don't know if people watch the ball drop anymore. That's something that I feel like growing up I did so much mm-hmm. of, and I'm wondering too, like, with 2020 being such a weird year, if that's something that people will do because everyone's around their screen and their TV. But I think people are staying in, maybe doing takeout. I'm sure that people will be doing takeout as different local restaurants are doing specials, and takeout is just thriving. I know I have a few friends who do DoorDash, and they work at those different delivery services, and they're just planning to work tonight because they know that they'll make quite a bit of money off of people that are, you know, looking to stay in but eat some good food. But I know that we'll just be hunkering down and staying up late, you know, mm-hmm. waiting for, you know, 11:59 and wondering what, you know, 12 a.m. will bring for 2021.
Oh, God.
How about you?
No, same. We're getting, I don't know. I don't know if we'll be getting Chinese, because if we are, I should probably get in line right now. Same thing. We'll do takeout, yeah. And we'll see what's on TV, and, you know, just, I think that, you know, obviously it's symbolic, and it's arbitrary, this, you know, spinning around the sun thing and how we time stuff, but it is a significant change, at midnight. And, I, along with everybody I know, is hoping that, you know, it's a better year for everybody. And, we're looking forward to 2021, and I'm looking forward to talking with you again in a couple of weeks.
Oh, it'll be so great. Well, I guess I'll talk to you in the next year then.
There we go. We'll see you in 2021.
All right.
That is Taylor Ann Bradford of the Gloucester Times. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. By the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.